We have now entered what will no doubt be called a new era. It will be named after the individual who was elected president. For some, the arrival of this new era couldn't come quickly enough. For others, its arrival is cause for anxiety and fear. In our country, such a change occurs every 4 to 8 years as a new president takes the oath of office and we enter into what is called a new era. We had the Reagan years, the Bush years, the Clinton years, the era of Bush and the Obama era. And now we have a new one. Every 4 years, maybe every 8 years, a new president takes office and he signs a slew of executive orders designed to overturn the executive orders of his predecessor or to bypass Congress or a little bit of both. And unfortunately, in 2 short years, we start the cycle over again as we try to figure out who's going to run for president in 2024. The pendulum of history swings back and forth. And honestly, we react to what we consider the excesses of one administration only to find that the excesses of the next can be equally alarming. I read an article which talked about why individuals got elected. It started off saying that Ronald Reagan got elected because he wasn't Jimmy Carter. Bill Clinton got elected because he wasn't George Bush. The second George Bush, got elected because, well, Al Gore was too much like Bill Clinton. They suggest that Donald Trump got elected because he wasn't Hillary Clinton. And Biden got elected because he wasn't Donald Trump. That's the pendulum of history going back and forth. The excesses of the present administration replaced by the excesses of another, which turned to be equally alarming. And for the believer in Jesus Christ, we are left with this tension of how do we manage as citizens of heaven to live with our dual citizenship. I'm going to give you a tip today. It's an acronym, TIP, which tell us how to manage to live God-honoring lives while living in the ever-changing landscape of earth. So if you want to skip out now, it's trust, influence, and pray. That's the 3 points. How do you live today in this world while honoring God? You trust God. You seek to influence those you can. And you always pray for those set in authority over us. Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." I originally memorized that in the King James Version. It says, "The heart of the king is as channels of water in the heart of God. He turns it whithersoever he wishes." I think I liked it just because of that word, whithersoever. The image of God directing the king. One translator put it this way, "It's as easy for God to steer a king's heart for his purposes as it is for him to direct the course of a stream." The call of all believers seeking to live God-honoring lives in every era begins with this understanding: God is in control. Trust God. He is in control. He's in control of who is in authority. This is the absolute plain teaching of Scripture. Whether you agreed with the previous president or with our new president, This we can all agree on. Each was established by God. God did not make a mistake in the last election. And he did not make a mistake in the election before that. Romans 13 says there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. This is the absolute confidence that believers in Jesus Christ have. Our God is in control. Therefore, our first response to the changing political climate is to trust God. We have never been encouraged as believers in Jesus Christ to trust government. We have never been encouraged as believers in Jesus Christ to place our trust in a political party. We are always encouraged to trust God. He knows what he is doing. He has worked throughout history through both good leaders and bad leaders to bring about his purposes. We often don't understand his short-term purpose, but he is still in control. Earthly leaders are but instruments in our Father's hand. They can do no more than he allows, and they can do no less than he demands. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. No matter who our president is, we trust God. Because God will have the final say. The king represents the most powerful person on the face of the earth, but regardless, God controls his heart. At times, we may not understand how God could allow individuals to arise to positions of authority, and yet Scripture is clear about this. God is in control. He is somehow able to maintain control while allowing mankind free will. Without overpowering the free will of mankind, God maintains control, and he puts people in positions of authority to accomplish his purposes. The story of Joseph being sold into slavery demonstrates the ways in which God puts people in positions of authority to accomplish his purpose. You think of Potiphar installed by God, Potiphar putting Joseph into jail, orchestrated by God. A baker and a cupmaker jailed by the Pharaoh, directed by God. Dreams being interpreted by Joseph, again directed by God. You know the story. You know how Joseph goes from being sold into slavery, being the second most powerful person in Egypt. Every step along the way, even when it seemed as though God had forgotten him and left him to rot in jail, Joseph trusted God because he knew God is in control. So strong was his faith that at the end of his life, Joseph reminds his brothers that although they meant to do him evil, God meant it for good. Imagine that. Individuals that meant something for evil, and Joseph knows God meant it for good. In our lives, there are individuals who no doubt would like to invent evil against us. Remember this, God means it for good. Trust God, he is in control, no matter what happens. The Israelites suffered as slaves in ancient Egypt. They were treated cruelly. They were told to murder their babies. Yet Romans 9 says this. It says that God told the Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." God is in control, so we trust him. Ezra writes of the people returning to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile. They were allowed to do so because of the rise of Cyrus. Now, Cyrus was no believer in the triune God. He has an interesting history. If you enjoy reading history as it relates to the Bible, read about Cyrus. He was likely a Zoroastrian, certainly not a monotheist, but he had a great tolerance for other faiths, and he encouraged their practice. Pragmatically, He was hoping that if he sent people back to their home countries and encouraged them to practice their religions, they would in turn pray to their gods to bless him. He was kind of covering all bases, if you would. And so when he defeats the Babylonians, he does so because God chose to put Cyrus in power, specifically because Cyrus would fund the Israelites going back to Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple, because God is in control. Therefore, we can trust him. Four other times when God used pagan leaders to accomplish his purposes. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? That never goes well with spell check, by the way. Nebuchadnezzar. Even when you spell it correctly. In Daniel chapter 4, you know Nebuchadnezzar, you remember Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, he's the one who said, bow before me, and the three guys say, we're not going to do that, and Daniel goes on the Daniel diet. Interesting, people talk about the Daniel diet now. The Daniel diet was a bad diet. He ate a bad diet to prove that God could keep him healthy in spite of eating a bad diet. Nevertheless, let's sell books on the Daniel diet. Anyway, Nebuchadnezzar, off my notes, sorry about that, for those of you in the Daniel diet. This is what Nebuchadnezzar, a heathen king, one who's demanded everybody bow down to him. This is what he said of God. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. This is a pagan king praising our God. God moved the heart of a pagan king to praise him. Trust God. He is in control. We already talked about Cyrus, but listen to what God says of Cyrus in Isaiah 44. God says, he is my shepherd. He shall fulfill all my purpose. Trust God. He's in control. Darius, in Ezra chapter 6, they have come to rebuild the temple and rebuild Jerusalem. Darius, they say, it says this, Ezra 6, 22. They kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord had made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria to them, so that he aided them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. From the New Testament, we see Augustus, Cyrus, declaring a census, which brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem for the birth of Jesus, just as prophesied in Micah. Trust God. He's always, always, always in control. The Bible says that however things may look, however badly those in authority may act, whether they realize it or not, whether they acknowledge it or not, God is in control. He is sovereign over our government and every government on the face of the earth. He is in authority over the president, the Congress, the Supreme Court, and every employee of every federal agency. God is in control. They can do nothing, either good or bad, without his permission. He put them there in the first place, and he can remove them whenever he pleases. So we enter a new era. Some people are saying, oh no, the world has fallen apart. Some people are saying, hallelujah, the world is healed. And nothing changed in terms of God being in control. He was in control in December. He was in control in November. And all the months before that, he was in control 4 years ago, and he's in control today. Trust God. It is the first step towards living God-honoring lives in every era, no matter who the president is. But there's a second tip, the influence part. We seek to influence the kingdoms of this world while being faithful to the kingdom of heaven. So influence where you can. While this may seem like the opposite of trusting God, it's actually quite compatible. We trust God to turn the hearts of our leaders to align with his purposes, but we also know that he uses people to bring about some of those changes. That's one of the reasons we vote. It's one of the reasons we write our congressmen. The examples of godly men and women doing just that abound in Scripture. Individuals who stood up for the right, not politically, for the correct, who stood up and faithfully approached those in authority in order to facilitate a change of heart. It is our privilege and responsibility to seek to influence the kingdoms of this world while being faithful to the kingdom of heaven, which means we walk a tight line, knowing that those in authority are set there by God, so we bear witness to the truth in order or in a manner which is keeping with the kingdom values. We remain in this world with an overriding purpose to bear witness to the truth, to keep, help set the climate for openness to the gospel. So we seek to influence those in power, but we seek to do it by and large within the confines of the law. It is what Moses did when he approached the Pharaoh. He didn't want to. He tried to get out of it, but God still used him to lead the Pharaoh to set his people free. There are examples also in Moses' life of individuals who said, "I will not obey this law, the law to murder all the babies." And God used that. It's what Queen Esther did when the king proclaimed that all Jews would be murdered, all throughout the land, Israelites were to be killed, and Esther came before the king knowing that her presence could mean her own death. But as her uncle had said, she was in her position for just a time as this. And through her influence, the king changed his mind. I think again of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the early chapters of Daniel, refusing to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, they get thrown into the fiery furnace. And you know what happens. They see four people in there, an angel of God. And the heart of Nebuchadnezzar is changed. And Nebuchadnezzar says this, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command, yielding up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God." Nebuchadnezzar understood that these three individuals chose civil disobedience at the risk of their own lives. And it ultimately changed the heart of Nebuchadnezzar. When possible, we seek to influence those in authority. We seek to influence when and where we can. Throughout history, Christians have influenced those in positions of authority by taking a stand, by speaking up, by volunteering, by befriending and living as a citizen of heaven. As I prepared this message, our country is still reeling from uncivil unrest, from individuals who broke the law in an attempt to change the government. And I submit to you, I'm not suggesting we do that. I am not suggesting that we storm the Capitol. I am suggesting that we do what we can within the kingdom of heaven, within the rules of the kingdom of heaven, to influence those who have authority in the kingdom of this earth. Jesus tells us we are to be salt and light in the world. We trust God because he is in control, and we still seek to influence the kingdoms of this world while remaining faithful to the kingdom of heaven. But even as we seek to influence this world for Christ, we have a more powerful method to bring about change. And it doesn't involve marching on Denver or Washington. It's prayer. We trust God because he is in control, and we influence where and when possible, but most importantly, in terms of how we facilitate change in government, is that we pray for those in authority. This, of course, is a well-known biblical concept, but we often forget it or think that it somehow has lost its power to change the hearts of our leaders. But Scripture still reads, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will." Since it is God who ultimately turns the hearts in accordance with his will, by approaching him in prayer, we have a hand in such influence. Numerous scriptures speak for the need of God's people to pray for those in authority. Paul suggests that such prayers are our first priority when he says in 1 Timothy 2, "First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we might lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good. It is pleasing in the sight of our God and our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." No matter who is in position of authority over us, our obligation as kingdom citizens is to lift them up in prayer. The benefits of praying for those in authority, for those in high positions, are many. But primary among them is the ability to lead a peaceful and quiet life, and the knowledge that in so doing we please God, and that others come to a knowledge of the truth. We know from Scripture that God turns the hearts of kings. That means that we should be praying that God's will be done for our leaders, and that they would in turn seek God and listen to him. We should pray that they would be surrounded by godly counsel. Men and women who are seeking to influence our leaders and lead them towards a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. Paul admonished us to pray for the leaders at a time when the vile Emperor Nero was at the head of the Roman Empire. Paul would eventually lose his life to Nero. Christians were viciously persecuted and blamed for every type of problem in society. Nevertheless, Paul instructs Timothy, and he instructs us, to pray for those who are in authority and to make it a priority. We pray for our leaders because we understand that whoever the leaders of our nation are, they are not our enemy. For those who are happy to see our previous president drummed out of office, remember, he was not the enemy. For those who are concerned about the present president as an enemy, remember, he is not the enemy. He's just a person. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against executive orders and laws. We do not wrestle against Republicans. We do not wrestle against Democrats. The ultimate battle is against the rulers of the darkness of this age. We need to get this straight. As believers in Jesus Christ, we trust in God. He is in control. We seek to influence where we can, but we fight a battle in prayer because we wrestle against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. The ultimate battle is not against a political party. It's not against a particular individual. It is against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and the only way we can fight that battle is through prayer. We live in a kingdom of this world while holding our citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. And it is tempting to eschew all involvement in this world. It's tempting to write off this world and simply hope for the next. It's tempting to take up arms in a holy crusade against those with whom we disagree, but that is not the way of Christ. The way of Christ is to bend our knees before the Lord God Almighty and pray that He would change the hearts of the King wherever He wishes. The way of the heavenly citizen is to meet God in prayer. It is to trust Him because He's in control. To influence those we can influence and always return to prayer. When the prophet Jeremiah wrote to the Jewish exiles living in the Babylonian captivity, he encouraged them not to protest or rebel against their captives, but rather to pray for them. This is what he says, Jeremiah 29. He says, "Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray for the Lord to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace." Even in the midst of an evil and wicked land, Jeremiah focused the Hebrew captives to pray for God's blessing upon that land. We should have spent the last 4 years praying for God's blessing upon Donald Trump, and we should spend the next 4 years praying for God's blessing upon Joe Biden. That's what believers in Jesus Christ do. That is how we live out our God-honoring lives in the midst of cultural changes, leadership changes, and chaos, which so often comes from a change in the occupants of the White House. Our role as believers in Jesus Christ remains the same. We pray for those in leadership, in authority over us. Now we've entered a new era. Many are happy to be done with the old era. Some, no doubt, hope for its return. As our society is divided in response to the dawn of this new era, the Church of Jesus Christ shouldn't be divided at all. Let's leave politics out of it, and let's come before the Lord our God that He would have influence upon all of those set in authority. Because no matter what era we live in, our response to it is guided by Scripture. God is still in control. Therefore, we trust Him. And even and perhaps especially when we don't understand Him, no matter who our leaders are, we follow the example of God's people recorded in Scripture. We seek to influence our leaders to approach the world in a more biblical manner. And we always come before the Lord God Almighty, the one who can take the hearts of the King and turn them whithersoever He wishes, because He is in control over all those who have authority over us. Therefore, pray with rejoicing, because God is still in control. His name is Joe Biden. He's our president. His name is Donald Trump. He was our president. And that's okay. Because in the Trump era, God was somehow still in control. And in the Biden era, God is still going to be in control. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we bring before You our nation. We bring before You President Trump and all the turmoil that we don't understand and how it is part of Your purpose. And we bring before You President Biden and all the turmoil and things we don't understand and the executive orders and the impact it has upon our lives and the lives of so many individuals, as it seems that we flip back and forth and the pendulum swings back right to left and back and forth, and we stand on this. We know You're in control. We trust You. And we lift all of those who are in authority over us, that You would bless them with joy unspeakable and full of glory, that they would experience the hand of God upon their heart, gently or forcefully, however You do it, turning their hearts wherever You wish to accomplish Your purposes. We pray this for our leadership so that more people might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we might live peaceful and tranquil lives, and that we, your people, might stand before this world as individuals who are solidly convinced that you are in control. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, Democrats, Republicans, independents, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.